Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's on this glorious Easter morning. A special welcome to all the guests that we have here this morning. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you for doing that. We're going to begin this morning in the front of our worship bulletin. The entire service is found in this worship bulletin, so you can follow along in there. I ask you right now to please stand. Face the back, and as the cross comes into church, we'll be singing the processional hymn, I Live.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
The Lord's right hand is majestic in power. The Lord's right hand has shattered the enemy. In the greatness of his majesty, he threw down those who opposed him.
Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to Christ people on earth.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you conquered death and opened the gate to eternal life. Grant that we who have been raised with him through baptism may walk in newness of life and ever rejoice in the hope of sharing his glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be dominion and praise now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first lesson for this morning is recorded in Jonah chapter 2.
If you know this account, what becomes directly before it, Jonah had defied the Lord. The Lord told Jonah to go and share the good news with the people of Nineveh, and he didn't want to, so he didn't. So in the Lord's judgment, the Lord sent Jonah down into the depths. But even there, Jonah trusted in the Lord for deliverance. Jonah cried out to the Lord, and God promised to save him. In the New Testament, Jesus makes reference to this lesson and reminds us that just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man would be 3 days in the grave and then rise again. Jonah said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Oh,
The second lesson is recorded in Colossians chapter 3. Here St. Paul reminds us that the promise of the resurrection is not just future glory. It's the new life that we live through Jesus and for Jesus and in Jesus right now. Christ's resurrection empowers us to set our hearts and minds on things above and live for our Savior. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to stand as the gospel is read this morning. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. It is in the blue hymnal in front of you or in the bench underneath you. It's hymn 720. Please note we will sing stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 7.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the name, peace, and love of your risen and living Savior, Jesus. There's two things you can count on in life, so the expression goes. I'm going to add a third to that list. The two things you can count on are death and taxes and traffic. And it doesn't matter, does it? No matter when you're coming up to Sacramento from the south, and you are enjoying the fact that you are not trying to go east on 80 to get to Folsom, because those poor people are never going to get there. But just when you skip over 50, you think this is great, until every time it hits the Cap City crawl. Have you ever wondered why that is? Why it slows down right there? What about taxes? Right? The 18th, you get a few bonus days today. But one thing you can be sure of is you are going to pay your taxes. And if you don't, if you take a little break, you know what else you can be sure of? They will let you know. And they will remind you again and again and again. And they will find you. They will make sure that you exercise your joy and privilege of keeping the fourth commandment and honoring the government and paying your taxes. You can count on it. It's going to happen. And unless Jesus comes back, and wouldn't it be great if Jesus would come back right now while we're worshiping him and he takes us all to be with him forever in heaven? But unless that happens, you and I and everything, including disco, are going to die. It's just a fact of life. And are there any exceptions to these rules? I think there are, but you can't always count on them. I don't know why it is that every once in a while you get to clip right through downtown without any backups. I don't understand. Sometimes I think it's divine intervention, especially when we're doing our pulpit rotation and I need to get from here down to Lodi. I can remember one trip in particular, at least I remember it going this way, and maybe it's a bigger story in my mind now than it actually happened. But even driving all the way down Madison, down 80 through Lodi, I don't remember hitting a single red light. Another time I had to drive to an area Reformation service, and so I left here on a Sunday afternoon, not even a single slowdown going west out of town on 80, all the way to the Bay Area. Sometimes there are exceptions to your taxes. Maybe you get a credit, or maybe there's a tax rebate, but rest assured, it's going away because you can count on paying your taxes. But what about death? Is there, was there, will there ever be an exception to the saying that one thing you can count on is death? You know, this is supposed to be Easter Sunday, and I'm going to share my thoughts with you based on the gospel for today, but as that lesson starts out, it sure doesn't seem like there are any exceptions to that rule. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And it seems very normal, doesn't it? It seems like this is not an exception to anything. Why did they go there? Because Jesus, their friend, was dead. And they wanted to take care of him. They wanted to give him a proper burial. They had to wait a little bit for the Passover to be done. Now that it was, they were going to go take care of their friend. There are no exceptions. Death cut these women to the heart. You know, sometimes we just think, well, these are just people in the Bible. Well, yeah, they're people in the Bible, but they were Jesus' friends in the Bible. Jesus meant a lot to them. They left their lives and they followed Jesus. They took care of him. They probably kept him well fed too during his ministry. They loved him. And they were devastated. It broke their hearts to have to go to Jesus' grave and take care of his body. And death is like that, isn't it? Death is terrible. Which is why you go to a cemetery, and you know what? We dress them up very nicely. They're very peaceful places. The lawns are nicely kept, and there's special trees there and special plants. And we like to bring flowers, and maybe you bring stuffed animals if they let you leave them there. And you say nice things about your loved ones, whether it's on a grave marker or on a tombstone. But in the end, it's a hard place to be, isn't it? You know, I was never really one to go and visit grave sites, but This was a number of years ago. I went to visit both sets of grandparents at their graves. I was going through Wisconsin, and I thought, I'm going to be driving right by. I might as well go. And it was kind of neat. I never did get to meet my maternal grandmother. She passed away before I was born. And I remembered, once I saw my grandpa's grave, I remembered the service. I wasn't very old, but I remembered it. I remembered it made me sad. And then I went to the other one, and that one was kind of neat, too, because my Grandpa Schmidt had full military honors. And I remember when they shot the guns off, and it brought back great memories. But you know what? Grandpa and Grandma are still there. And it doesn't matter that Joseph paid a lot of money to give Jesus a Cadillac of a tomb, brand new, it still hurt. And it still hurt his friends to go there and have to take care of him. And again, Easter should not surprise us, because what are we here talking about? We're talking about a man who died, a man who suffered and died. A man whose body is lying in the ground, and now his friends are going to go take care of him. But then something happened that is quite extraordinary. Something happened that broke the rule. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They were about to experience an Easter exception that was going to take away all their heartache, that was going to mend their hearts, that was going to restore their souls, that was going to give them joy that day and eternal joy with Jesus forever. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Instead of finding a dead body, they found some angelic messengers. And they gave them a little sermon. They said, "He is not here, he is risen." The beaten, battered, lifeless body of Jesus was laid in the ground, and now it's not there anymore. We're thinking, wait a minute, Pastor. I mean, you're telling me that a guy who died and was dead, they put him in the tomb, is alive now? I'm not telling you that. Well, you're saying the angels are saying that. No, the angels aren't saying that either. They simply shared the promise that Jesus made. "Remember how he told you," the angel said, "while he was still with you, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?" Remember how he told you. And may by God's grace, the Holy Spirit turn our heads, in our hearts, in our minds, to that good news that is ours. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Because just stop and think of the alternative. Just muse with me for a little bit. What if none of this is true? What if these ladies, they made up a lie 2,000 years ago and people are still telling it today? What if they were just tired, emotional, worn out, done? And they had some sort of vision about some angels. They didn't know what it was, so they made up a really good story. Well, if that's true, that presents all of us with a problem. Because even if you don't know these Bible passages, your heart lets you know these things. We have a problem. If Christ has not been raised, St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If Jesus has not been raised, then he died and he was a failure, and nothing of what I say means anything to you. It means that the wages of sin is death. And even if you don't agree with that passage, even if you don't know where that passage is in the Bible, your heart lets you know, doesn't it? Just like mine does. When you do something that you shouldn't. When you say something that you wish you hadn't. And when you think things about God and other people and about life in general that you know are not okay. Doesn't your heart tell you? And isn't that why we, and I do this too, isn't that why we get really good at covering up what we do and hiding it from as many people as possible, hoping nobody will ever find out about what we did or what we do or how we think or what we've said? Isn't that also why it feels good to be around people who do those things too? So that maybe, just maybe, you're going to get away with it because everyone does it and it's not that big of a deal. Your heart tells you otherwise, doesn't it? And so does God's word.
If Jesus is still dead, your faith is futile, and my faith is futile, and we are still in our sins. St. Paul says, here's point number two. If the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If Christ has not been raised, then the funeral home, instead of, in addition to just being a sad and a hard place to be, it's a terrible final place to be. And just think of all the emotion that gets wrapped up when you go to visit someone or when you go to a funeral or memorial service. And how badly that hurts right here. Well, that's going to be nothing compared to when you and I and all of our loved ones have to go give an answer to Jesus someday for those things that make your hearts feel guilty. Because if Jesus is dead, you have nothing. You have nothing to give God. And God is not going to let you into heaven. He's not going to let me in either. Point number three. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ has not been raised, then my sermon is silly. Your Christ-like faith, your faith in Christ is childish. It's a children's story. And your faith is worthless. Because if Christ has not been raised, then I have nothing to offer you. And we might as well knock off right now. We can go over to the gym. There's a lot of food there. Maybe we can shoot some hoops for a while. Maybe we can try and make each other feel a little bit better. Then we can start thinking about going and seeing grandma and the meal that we're going to have and hugs and kisses from grandma and see if that makes us feel better. And it won't. Because if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. My message to you is nothing. But that is not what they saw on Easter Sunday, is it? When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." St. Paul also writes some commentary on this, so you just don't have to listen to me. We get to listen to God tell us. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive again. We desperately need Jesus to do the unexpected, don't we? We need Jesus to be the exception to the rule that everyone and everything dies. And he is. Jesus lives. Paul calls him the first fruits. That means what happened to him is going to happen to you, is going to happen to me, is going to happen to everybody who by God's grace knows and trusts Jesus as Savior. Maybe our bodies will rest in the ground for a little bit, but one day because he lives, our bodies are going to live too. One day because he lives, we are going to live body and soul with God, with Jesus forever. St. Paul also wrote, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. There's your help with that, isn't it? The guilty conscience, a guilty heart. Those games you like to play, the games that I like to play, where we try to hide what we've done. We don't have to hide it from God. One, because you can't. And two, he delivered his son over for you and for me. And he raised him to life because of our justification. Sins were paid for. And we need someone to take care of death for us too. And Jesus did that. He was raised again for our justification. So what are you expecting to get out of Easter this year? Remember Cadbury eggs? Have you gotten a Cadbury egg? I love Cadbury eggs. And do you remember when they came out? The very first commercial for them, it was of a bunny. And it was making chicken noises, and it was laying Cadbury eggs. And when you got one, it was a huge score. Well, if that's all you're hoping to get out of Easter, because you don't have that relationship with Jesus, then you might as well go back home. Go give grandma a big hug. Go give grandma a big kiss. Enjoy the time with everybody that you're going to spend time with. And enjoy a chocolate egg-laying bunny. Because I don't have anything else for you. But because Christ is raised from the dead, and because the Holy Spirit is powerful
and effective if you have a firm hold on Jesus, or better yet, if he has an even more firm hold on you, then this is what you have in Easter. You have the promise that you will live with your Savior Jesus. You have his promise that your guilty tummy is taken away by him. And when you talk to him, he loves you and he forgives you. And you have the promise, the same promise I do, that grandpas and grandmas who have been laid in the ground, they're going to live again. And you get to live with them forever. So, if Jesus lives, which he does, and if the best I have to offer you today is that you have a clear conscience before God, and if the best thing I have to offer you today is that your Easter celebration doesn't end after the meal's done, and if the best I have to offer you is life now, promise that Jesus sojourns with you through the ups and through the downs, just like he did Jonah, and he's never going to leave you, and at the end he's going to take us to be with him forever, I'll take it, and I'll share it with you. And you can bet every time you come here, St. Mark's is going to share it with you again and again, and we are going to go with that good news too. By God's grace, turn your heads and your hearts to Jesus this Easter, because he is your resurrection and he is your life. To God alone be the glory. Amen. At this point in our service, we have the opportunity to confess that very faith. Those who feel comfortable doing so may join together to confess their faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're on page 9 and 10 in the worship booklet. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated as we worship our God with our offerings. If you are our worship guest this morning, you are under no obligation to participate. I would ask that you fill out your connection card, especially if you would like to talk with me, or if there's something St. Mark's can help you with, or if you have a specific prayer request. That's the best way to get in touch with St. Mark's, is by dropping that card in. We worship our God with our gifts.
Our Easter celebration continues by singing and rejoicing in the promises that God just shared with us through his word. It is the hymn, Christ is Risen, Alleluia. You'll find that printed on pages 10 and 11 in the worship booklet. It's a pleasure as a church family to pray for our brothers and sisters in their times of need. We've been asked to remember Josh Falgene, who was in a car accident last week, and he is in the hospital recovering. So we'll ask God to be with Josh and be with his family and those who will attend to him. Our prayer of the church this morning is the responsive prayer on pages 12 and 13. Please stand. Heavenly Father, God of grace,
You have brought us into a new and living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive.
He is risen.
He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification.
Hallelujah.
We marvel at the love you showed by your willingness to sacrifice your Son to pay for our sins. We bow down in adoration at your mighty power, which raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, God of grace, you have filled our hearts with resurrection joy by your victory over sin, death, and the grave. With the church of every age, we offer you unending praise, for you have crushed Satan's head and removed our guilt.
You are risen.
Dear Savior, we who are weary and burdened come to you for rest, knowing that because of your perfect redemption, there is now no condemnation for us.
You are risen.
Take away our doubts and fears, and daily renew in us the joy of our salvation.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, God of grace, you have called us by the gospel and brought us to saving faith in our risen Lord.
We glorify you for opening our eyes to see the light of life.
Keep us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
He is risen.
As we journey through life, make us yearn for the day when you will give eternal life to us and all believers in Christ.
He is risen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank your name for granting Josh an initial recovery from his accident. We ask that you would help him to truly appreciate the great things you have done for him, not only for his body, but more importantly for his soul, and through which you have used medicine and doctors, staff and nurses to restore his health. We ask that you continue to be with him, make him stronger and stronger. If it is your will, with health restored, may he faithfully continue to serve you and others. We thank you that you sustained his faith during this time. We ask that you be with his parents and with his family and with his friends. We ask that you give them confidence in your care over Josh. And again, thank you for being with him. Work through us as we proclaim the saving message of the crucified and risen Jesus near and far, so that many others may hear your call, obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, and join us before the throne of our God and of the Lamb. And in Jesus' name we join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Please be seated for our closing hymn. The stanzas of the closing hymn are printed on pages 13 and 14 in the worship booklet.
Thank you.
Good morning again and happy Easter to everyone. I enjoyed worshiping with you today, and may that good news that you have new life in Jesus now, may that sustain you through the valleys, help you praise God in the good times, and give you that hope of life with Him forever in heaven. Want to personally thank especially our teachers and our staff and our musicians. It started on Palm Sunday, and the children's choirs have been fantastic, and all the time and energy that you put in. We truly appreciate your musical gifts and the choirs as well, and those of you who shared the children's voices with us, thank you. That's very meaningful, and it really makes worship great. So thank you for putting in all that extra time. Again, if you would like to chat with me, the best way to get in touch with me is to fill out that connection card, and I'd be happy to give you a call. Next week, I'm going to be out of town for a little bit, so it might be a little bit, or we could connect you with someone else, too. If you'd like more information about our school, that's a great way to get that information, request that, or about Sunday school, you can just jot us a note on the connection card, and we'll get you that information. So may Jesus bless you if you're spending time with your family. Bless you if you're going to be alone and spend some time by yourself. May Jesus remind you that He's with you, too, and that He lives for you. So God bless your Easter celebrations. I look forward to saying hi to you one more time in the lobby. He is risen.
He is risen.